Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you're physically able to stand, would you please do so, and let's honor God as we read the scriptures. I'll read it audibly. You read along there silently, and then we'll ask God to bless our time together. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen. Father, as we bow together, we confess that you know every situation. You know every struggle, every test, every difficulty. You know every mountain, every valley. You know it all. And so we bow before you now and say thank you. We want to thank you that you brought us through all the fires of life, all the waters, all the storm. You brought us over every mountain. You brought us through every valley. You've never left us. And we're here now not only to say thank you, but to confess we need your help. Because, Lord, we want to finish. We want to finish. So would you help this old lump of clay to communicate what you have for your people here today? Holy Spirit, be free here. These are your people. And you have already demonstrated that Christ loves us. Now help us to prove that we love him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject for today is simply finish your race. Finish your race. Now, in the scriptures, the Christian life is often referred to as a race, and we are often referred to as athletes, okay? And so this is not unique, but this race, the Christian race, requires faith. It's not like any other race on earth. It requires faith, and it involves many trials, many troubles. And so the Bible would say to every Christian, don't act surprised as if something strange was happening to you when you encounter trials, right? As a matter of fact, James would say, what? Count it all joy when you encounter the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, right? So this is not unique. We know that our life requires faith and involves trials. And so here's the issue. Every Christian then must prepare for the race. You cannot assume that I'm just going to run. It's like watching a person that's getting ready to run a marathon. They don't do any training. They just go out there and assume that you can run 5K. Right? You know how foolish that can be. And so to live the Christian life and you don't plan to prepare is just as foolish. This is a war we're in. This is a battle. Yes? Now, God has given us everything necessary to win, but we've got to prepare ourselves. I want to say to you that this pastor wrote this letter to these Jewish Christians, the letter of Hebrews. It's really a sermon. And this sermon was written to Christians who were living in fear. You can imagine. In the first century, it's like many areas in the world right now. You become a Christian in your life, that's like putting a target on you. You now live in danger of dying. okay? And the system is designed against you. They will fire you from your job, you know, take your home. The system is designed to make you hurt when you come to Christ, right? Now, it's not that bad in America yet, but in the majority of places around the world, Christians are suffering severely. And they have the same struggle. They're living in fear and unbelief. And we can sit here and look judgmentally there, but until you have to face that kind of pressure, you don't know the struggle of trying to deal with unbelief when the bottom just falls out. And it's all because you came to Christ. And so they were struggling with this in unbelief and with no joy. And so Hebrews is a warning to Christians not to give up. And it's an encouragement, right, not to give up. So that's what we want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. And what this pastor does is he says, when you're faced with difficulties in life, you've got to decide what you're going to look at, okay? Because you and I both know that when you're dealing with a problem, the temptation is to look at what? The problem, right? We stare at that problem, assuming that if we look at it long enough, we can figure it out or some kind of resolution would come. And so this pastor says that is the problem. You're staring at the problem. And so he says, I want to show you how to deal with the struggles of life when it seems to make no sense with you, so no sense to you. You've got to learn to look at past witnesses because you're not the first one to go through troubles and trials. It feels like that at times, but then that's what God wants to remind us. There are many who have lived the same way, and they were faithful and successful. Look at past witnesses, and then finally he says, look at Jesus. So let's unpack this just a little bit and see if we can learn something that will help us today. Looking at past witnesses. So my question to you then is when you're looking at past witnesses, you have to decide what you're looking for, right? What do we see when we look at other believers that have lived before us? Now, again, we are not told to look at our troubles. Listen to me. Nor are we told to look at troubling people. See, it's a temptation to look at trouble and troubling people on your job. This is a thorn. This is someone that really is a headache to you. The temptation is to stare, and I don't mean physically, but to keep them always in your thoughts and as if that's going to help as a Christian. So what this pastor says is that only leads to worry. Every one of us knows that the more you meditate on a problem, the more you're going to what? Worry. Because you're constantly trying to solve it. Right? So what he says here then is when we look at the past witnesses in chapter 11, we see many believers who finish their race of faith without giving up. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Those of you familiar with your Bible know that chapter 11 is this great chapter on faith. And it outlines, it gives just a snapshot of some of the ones who lived generations ago, who lived through difficulty in life, but did it in what? Faith, right? And so he calls them, you go back to it, he says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. So we see many believers who finished their race in faith without giving up. We also see, and this is important, my brother, my sister, I want you to get this point. We see believers with weaknesses and failures who finish life in faith. This is so important. When you read chapter 11, you read about Abraham and Moses and these people, and God is commending them. He is giving them great accolade for having lived a life of faith. But how many of you know the life of Abraham? Abraham was fearful and he was a liar. When he got in trouble, to where he thought his life was in danger, he gave up what? His wife. Lied about it, right? But God commends him as being what? A man of faith. Those of you who know Moses and Moses' life, you know that Moses had a serious problem with what? Anger. Such that God didn't even let him go into the promised land. But God is what? Commending him for his faith. Amen? Sarah, y'all remember Abraham's wife? What was Sarah's problem? A weakness. Unbelief. You remember when she was told that she was going to have a child in her old age? What did she do? She laughed. And she was reproved by that, right? That's a laughter of what? Unbelief. And what did she do? She denied it. So you see that they were people just like us. They had their struggles just like us. Gideon was a fearful man. Samson was a womanizer. David had his struggles with immorality. David was even a murderer. And this is, he's considered a man what? After God's own heart. And here God is commending them for their life of faith. Not because they live a perfect life, but because they what? Finished. They had failures along the way, but did they stop? They got up and finished. You get it? This is important, Christian. This is important when we're dealing with struggles in life. As a matter of fact, chapter 11 and verse 13 says, "These all died in faith." Amen. And so that's what we see when we look at past witnesses. The next question for you and I is, just looking at them is not what God wants. He wants us to decide and see what we need to do. Yes? What are we to do when we look at them? Accept life circumstances as uniquely from God's providence. Well, Brother Willie, where'd you get that from? Go back to chapter 12 and look at verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance." Here's the phrase. "The race that is set before us." Who set it before us? God did it. God says, "This is your race. Willie, stay in your lane. Stop jumping around thinking that running over here is easier. You want the inside lane when God has called you to run here," right? So it is God who has designed every situation. I mean, he's designed our life. He's customized our life for us. And anyone who thinks it's too hard doesn't know your God. Amen. Is anything too hard for God? No. Nothing. Right? Yes, and so we accept life circumstances as uniquely from God's providence. He is in control. Well, then what else is it telling us to do? Repent. Now follow this. I'm going to show you where I got this. Repent and replace the destructive and sinful habits in our life. Where you get that, Brother Willie? Look back at verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." What is he saying? Every one of us has got some sinful habits that you just overlook. You say, "Not me." Have you arrived? Anybody that would raise their hand and say, "I've arrived"? Well, then if you are honest, then there's still work to be done on you. Maybe things that you aren't even aware of. But the Holy Spirit, when he brings it to your attention, he says what? Now get this. Notice what I said. Repent and replace destructive and sinful habits. Some of us have habits that may not be sinful, but they're still what? Destructive. For me, too much television. That doesn't necessarily mean it's sinful, but it's certainly what? Destructive. Because I could be using the time more wisely. You understand? So the Bible says, lay aside, Willie, lay that aside. Why? Willie, you got to finish. You cannot finish your race watching TV. Now, I'm not saying that TV is evil. I didn't say that, did I? But when it becomes a destructive habit, right? Now, there are sinful habits that we need to address, but you see what I'm saying here. It isn't, the Bible does not only call us to repent. It calls us to replace. Amen. Well, what are you saying, Brother Willie? Now, you know, I grew up in a household. Both my parents smoked, and, you know, I was around it all of my young years. And I even lit some cigarettes for them. But I never became a smoker, so I don't really understand the real challenge of stopping. But I can tell you this, that if you're going to stop smoking and that's it, you don't plan to replace, then you position yourself to be tempted and lured back into it. So God says to us, I don't want you to just stop doing what's wrong. I want you to what? Start doing what's right. Okay? You know, there's many different ways. For example, with smokers, they may pick up gum or, you know what I mean? It's stopping doing wrong, as the Bible calls it. You clean the house and you don't fill it with anything. You set yourself up for what? That house to be in worse shape when the habits come back in. Anybody that's ever dealt with AA or, you know, alcoholics or have been one yourself, you know that if you simply stop and don't have a plan to live sober, to live holy, you set yourself up to fall even what? Deeper the next time. Okay? So I want you to see that's the reason I said repent and replace. You see it? Repent and replace all destructive habits. And then finally he says to us, when we look at past witnesses, we need to be willing to live through all our troubles of life with a determination to finish. He says, run with endurance. Listen to me. He says, run. Don't sit down, Willie. He says to you, run. Don't sit down. And then he also says, don't sprint. Yeah, you ever watch sprinters start? I mean, it's a long race. And they out of the chute, they are just blazing. And then sooner or later, along the way, what are they going to do? Run out of gas. Why? Because the issue is not who was first out. The objective of the race is to finish. And so God is saying to you and me, pace yourself. Pace yourself. You don't have to solve this problem today. Stop staring at that problem. Stop staring at that problem person. Stop making that dominant in your thinking. That's worry. Your children, you got a test coming up. And that's all that you're thinking of. I've seen so many children do poorly on tests because all you did was worry about it all night. When you've studied, you've done your best. Rest in that. Yes? God doesn't want us just badgering ourselves with issues and problems, right? He wants you to run with endurance. And by the way, this is just a note I made for myself. Listen to me very carefully. Don't have a secret plan to quit. You don't talk to anybody about it, but it's right there. If this doesn't happen, I'm out. You understand what I'm saying? You said nothing to anybody about it, but in your mind, you've already decided to what? Quit. You see the problem? If I haven't determined to finish, who is it going to make sure that I quit? You got an enemy whose purpose is to defeat you. You think he's going to find ways to do that? Absolutely. Don't have secret plans to quit. God says when you look at these witnesses, they finished. They finished, he says to you and me. You likewise need to finish. We're together so far? So that's the first thing then, is to look at past witnesses. The next thing, and obviously this is the most wonderful thing here, is to look at Jesus himself. I want you to notice the same pattern. When you look at Jesus, what do you see? Can you get back to our text? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith. Isn't that wonderful? Looking to Jesus. My friend, when you look to Jesus, what do you see? This verse says that you need to see that Jesus is the pioneer and the model of the faith which we live. He has lived it. Then this is what he's saying to us. When you look at the life of Jesus, you see one who perfectly models how to handle life situations. Right? Now he's saying you can look at witnesses and they can give you some encouragement, but the most perfect encouragement comes from looking at Jesus. Amen. We can encourage each other. I thank God for that, don't you? But ultimately, we all have limitations because we all have weaknesses. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ, but I am not following Christ perfectly. You see the problem? So looking at me, you're going to see flaws. Looking at, well, we already went through. Look at Abraham. Do you see flaws? Yeah. Look at Sarah. Look at Moses. You're going to see flaws. Now, they can help you, but if you want to have the perfect model of faith, what? Look at Jesus. You won't find any flaws there. None. They tried him. They tested him. Even his own enemy says, well, we can't find any fault with him, but we're going to kill him anyway. You see it? Can't find any fault in him because he's the perfect pioneer and model for the faith that we live. What's your point, Brother Willie? When you fix your eyes on Jesus, he motivates you. And I want to show you how. This is not just a saying. I really want you to see this. By faith. Now look at, you got verse 2? Look at it again. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I want you to look at my sentence. This is a very, very, very important sentence. By faith, Jesus considered the outcome of his suffering and death. The outcome. Why? Because he planned to finish. When you plan to finish, you can project. You can go forward. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm not there yet, but that's where I'm going. None of us have made it to heaven yet, but what? Are you going? Absolutely. That's what motivates me. No sickness, no pain. We'll be delivered there. And so we press on when it's hard. Press on when it makes no sense. Press on when it looks like everything and everybody's trying to drag you down. I'm going on. Learning to forget those things that lie behind and strain forward to those things that are ahead. Pressing on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes. Pressing on. You can pull at me, but you can't stop me. Amen. I know where I'm going. Isn't that the wonderful thing about a Christian? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And what? My Father's house in many rooms. When I saw what I've told you, that I go to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again. For what? To receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. I know where I'm going. In the words of Hawkins, I'm going up yonder. Yeah. To be with my King. He's coming back. You believe it? Coming back. Coming back. Nobody can stop him. They couldn't stop him the first time. They certainly won't. He won't be coming like a baby. You won't find him in a manger. They won't be kicking him around and won't, no place for him. Well, when he comes back this time, every eye will see him break through the clouds. That regal voice will ring out and the dead in Christ will rise first. Yeah. Going to be wonderful. Yeah. You ready for that day? Amen. Nothing can stop you if you believe in Christ. No problem down here can stop you. You remember how Paul said it in Romans? Talked about all the afflictions that Christians go through, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, what? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I know you don't have to tell me about your bucket. I got my own bucket of troubles. You got yours. That will be getting ahead of us. That can't stop you. That can't stop you. Paul confessed that he wanted to get rid of that thorn, you remember, in his flesh. Amen. Really felt like he was going to be a great Christian after the thorn was gone. Until God told him, you're going to have that till you die. Amen. Did he go on and live with it? Amen. Not only did he just live, he said, I rejoice. I rejoice. You getting this? You can rejoice even in your troubles. You can, you must. And so you see what Jesus did. He was able then to think about the outcome of his suffering and death, and that brought him what? Joy. I'm going to tell you something. Look at Jesus. He will bring you joy. Look at him. He'll motivate you, and I want to show you how. Faith can look beyond present circumstances to the promise of God. I just told you, Hebrews 11:1, you know that, right? Faith is the substance of things, what? Hope for. So it deals with things hoped for and things, what? Not seen. So I can look beyond what I see right now because we live by faith and what? Not sight. So what I see is not the only reality. Do you see angels? Do you see the Holy Spirit? Do you see... Oh my, there's a whole world functioning around us right now. God has his mighty angel posted right here. Yes, sir. The Holy Spirit's right here. Amen. Taking note of every seat. Of searching every heart. You can't see him. The Bible says he's like the wind. He knows your troubles. He said, I'll never leave you. I'm with you. When you go through the valley, I'm with you. When you walk through the waters, I'm with you. When you go through the storm, I'm with you. When you get the bad medical report, I'm with you. When they say they're going to fire you next week, I'm with you. I got a plan. I know the plans I have for you. I know them. They don't know them. Your company doesn't know them. Your school doesn't know them. I know them. Your family doesn't know the plans I have for you. You think they can stop my plans? You see it? But you got to look away from the things that's your trouble. You got to look at him who can fix your trouble. Right? Him who says nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. We good so far? So when you look at Jesus, it's a matter of what you see. And then finally, this verse 3 then tells us what we must do. You got verse 3? Consider him who endured from sinners and such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Well, Brother Willie, what does that mean to us? Okay, I'm going to try to wrap up here. So kind of get this, all right? Get this. I want you to see my statement first. What this is saying to us is you got to slow down. Dial it back a little bit. Dial back you are allowing yourself to enter a stress level that God didn't plan for you. You see, pull it back. The Bible, matter of fact, the Bible says, do not worry. And Paul made it even more emphatic. He says, be anxious about what? Can you be clearer than that? Don't worry about anything. But in everything, you see it? Don't worry about anything, but in everything, what do you do? See what it is? Don't worry. I don't care what it is. Don't worry about it. But everything, no matter what it is, you can pray. See it? That'll keep you from worrying. And so you got to slow down. And then here's, you get this. Then you've got to meditate on the kind of suffering that Jesus endured. This is really, really, really important when you feel like things are so bad in your life. Dial it back and take some time and look at Jesus. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, rejected by men. Yeah? Bruised for our iniquities, right? Wounded for our transgressions, right? When you look at him and you realize he was doing it all for someone, his suffering was not because of him. Now, can you say that? Much of the suffering that we go through is because of us. Now, don't get disingenuous with me. We oftentimes cause our suffering, directly or indirectly. Yeah? Jesus did nothing to earn his suffering. But he suffered for you and me. He was marred beyond human comprehension. He was so mutilated that you couldn't recognize him. Think of that. They had so mutilated his face. See, soldiers, think of this. Soldiers are some of the roughest men, particularly at that time, that were known. And it was their job to humiliate what they thought were criminals. To them, Jesus was a what? He's a criminal. They treated him like a criminal. You see what I'm saying? Consider his suffering and then compare that to your own. Every one of us will have to say, I haven't gone through anything like that. Right. True? Amen. I have not gone through anything like Jesus. And if he could finish, then what? So can I. You see what I'm saying? Since my suffering was not as intense and awful as his, and he finished, then it says to me, I can finish too. You see what I'm saying? That's what motivates. That motivates. Don't simply look at the suffering of Jesus and then go on with your complaints. Don't look at the suffering of Jesus and then go on back to worry. You see? That doesn't benefit you. Don't look at the suffering and then decide you're going to quit anyway. That's not what he's saying. Serious meditation on the suffering of Jesus inspires the believer to endure physical and spiritual pains and troubles. What do you mean, Brother Willie? There are two words there. You got verse 3? You see the end of verse 3? So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Grow weary means physically. You can kind of tell with the word faint-hearted, that's this what? Spiritually. So the whole idea here is that serious meditation on Christ helps me deal with physical pain and what? Spiritual pain. There's sometimes words have done such a job on you that you don't know how you're going to recover. Yeah? You've been so wounded spiritually, so let down, that you wonder if you could ever trust again. The Bible says you need to look at Jesus and see if you've been wounded spiritually the way he was. Him who knew no sin, what? Became sin. So that we might become the what? Righteousness of God. Right? So You dial it back, you slow down, and you see that he will medicate, he will, motivate you physically and spiritually. Well, then, in conclusion, my brother, my sister, I want to say to you, God always finishes what he starts. Isn't that good? Always, 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 always finishes what he starts. Jesus proclaimed, after he had accomplished, the redemption was accomplished, he said, it is what? It's finished. After he had suffered and completed the plan of redemption, God promises to finish the work that he has begun in you and me, right? Amen. Philippians 1, I am confident that he who what? Began this good work in you is able to complete it until the day, right, of Christ Jesus. And he expects us to complete the work that he has assigned to our hands. God expects us to be faithful to the end. You say, well, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. Amen. When you came to Christ, you said, my life is no longer what? My own. Yes, sir. I've been bought with a price. Yes, and when I consider the price, it was the highest price to be paid. So I've got to be sold out. Whatever race he puts in front of me, I don't compare it. I said, Lord, help me run it. Because I want to get from here to what? To the finish. I don't plan to stop. I don't have any plans to get off in the detour. This is a narrow road. If you wanted that, that's on the wide road. The wide road, the broad gate, that leads to what? Destruction. But over here on this narrow road, it leads to life. That's where I'm going. Somebody said this earlier today. The free gift of God is eternal life, right? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. That's where we're going. You going? Hallelujah. Endure hardship. Endure disappointments. Endure slander. Endure rejection, endure physical pain, endure abandonment by people, endure financial loss and all of these things. How long, Brother Willie? Until the end. You think you've been abandoned now? Don't be surprised. It's probably going to happen again. You've been slandered awfully now. It's probably going to happen again before you get where? To the end. But you've got to be really willing and ready to finish, even if it happens again. You remember Peter said, how many times must I forgive people? How many? Lord, how many times? He says, well, I'll tell you what, Lord. The Old Testament only cries three times. I'll give them, I'm magnanimous. I'll forgive a person seven times. Did Jesus say that was enough? He says, if a person comes to you seven times 70 in one day. So Peter, stop counting. If you're foolish enough to sit there and count how, I forgave you 500 times a day. What is that? Why am I counting? Because ultimately I want to know when I can get back. The only reason I'm keeping records is I want to know when you fill it up. Because when you reach the limit, now you get the wrath. So you see, God's saying, don't make those kind of plans. Be willing to endure the hardships of life. We must do this because true believers finish the race that is set before us. True believers are not comparing our race with someone else's race. True believers are not meditating and worrying about the problems at home. Not worrying about the problems on the job or the problems in the school system. True believers are not worrying about the problem at church or the problems with neighbors. But rather we're slowing down. We're learning to meditate. To meditate on the Word of God. To meditate on God Himself. To meditate on Christ. To concentrate. To fill our mind with the kind of suffering that Jesus endured compared to my own. And then you'll be able to say with Paul, this is light, momentary affliction, and what? It's not worth comparing to the glory that's awaiting us. Isn't that wonderful? It's easy to read that verse, but when you are finally able to say that about your situation, as hard as it is, as deeply as I've been hurt, as deeply as I've been disappointed, as awful as I'm hurting right now, to be able to say this is light and it's momentary and it's not worth comparing to what's going to happen at the end when I finish. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Press on, my brother. Press on, my sister. You can finish your race just like every other saint in every other generation. You can make it. And it's not a slogan. This is not a political slogan. God says you can make it.
Amen.
You can. You can. Don't give up. Keep looking at Jesus.
Yes.
And if you're not a Christian, you need to look at Jesus today too. If you're not a Christian, you need to look at him and you will see that he can save you. He can save you in your troubles and he can save you from your troubles. Look at Jesus. God can work a miracle for you and in you right now. Look at Jesus. Get beyond all the sermon that I've mentioned here, because anything I've said is to point you to Jesus. If you're not a Christian, don't try to fix your problems. Just look at Jesus. He's the problem fixer. You got one major problem that needs to be fixed first. And that is to have a right relationship with him. So my friend, if you're not a Christian today, I encourage you to look to Christ and he will save you forever. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants you to come to him today. Lord, we thank you for your great care for us. Thank you for loving us when we were so unlovely. Thank you for caring for us when we've failed so miserably, even as a Christian. Thank you for knowing the plans that you have for us. Thank you for designing this race that we must run. Thank you for not giving way to our complaints and our murmuring and our constant exasperation in these situations. And now we just ask you to give us greater resolve to finish the race. Greater resolve to finish regardless of what comes our way. And Lord, would you bring someone to yourself today for your glory and for the good of their souls? We ask it in Jesus' name. Every saint said, amen. Amen.